This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, joined by Mike Lynch, retired sportscaster at Channel 5 Sports Anchor, and now unanchored, if you will, with the podcast with Bob Lobel. And Mike Lynch, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Bill. It's always a pleasure to be on with you.
Mike, we are the day after the Celtics' loss in Game 7. You know, I'm not a negative guy, and I know you're not really a negative guy as well. So where do you come down on this, on how this collapse of Game 7 happened for the Celts?
You know, I think obviously going down 0-3, it was an impossible hole to climb out of. Sooner or later, Miami was going to win at least one game. It almost happened in Game 6 with a tenth of a second to spare. And Game 7 was just... It was just, I don't want to say an embarrassment because Game 3 was an embarrassment, but it was pretty close. You know, you're home, you're playing the number 8 seed, you've got all these should-be all-world players, and nobody really showed up to play last night.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I felt that, you know, the first, let's call it the 8 minutes of the game, the Celts should have been up by 15 or 20 points, and they weren't. You know what I'm saying? They couldn't hit a shot.
Yeah, they were. They missed their first 12 three-pointers. And I thought Shaquille O'Neal had a pretty good line after the game. He said, you know, when you can't shoot from outside, all right, then start shooting inside. Take good percentage shots, get on the board, make a run. He says, I would have walked into the huddle and said, if anybody takes a three-point shot, I'm going to punch him right in the face. And I thought, you know, it was kind of succinct, and it was direct, but I know exactly what he was saying. Okay, we can start taking three-point shots when we get ourselves back into the game. But, you know, the hole is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Miami was playing a zone. The Celtics were just standing around and almost just mirroring the zone defense rather than just whipping it. And you know from junior high days, the only way to beat the zone is to pass the ball, and the Celtics just weren't doing that.
You know, Mike, I look at the game, and I thought, I mean, I know people are beating them up, and I thought even the announcers were beating them up on their defense last night, but, you know, for the most part, I didn't think their defense was all that bad. Yeah, sure, there were lapses, but the Celtics' offense was just horrible. And I thought, they had so many chances with the Heat last night in the second half, could have broken it way wider than they did, you know, if it weren't for some defensive stops. I don't think you can shoot that poorly at home in a Game 7. You know, it's terrible.
No, you've got to hit the offensive glass if you're shooting poorly. They didn't do that. They just stood around on offense. I just watched their offense, and they're just standing around watching, waiting for something to happen instead of making something happen.
Yeah, but even at times, Mike, they were pulling down offensive boards, but then they didn't capitalize on the second chance opportunities. You know, it just nothing worked for them, you know, last night, I guess. You know what I'm saying? If I'm saying they played solid defense, you know, maybe if they scored 120 points, that defense would have been, you know, textbook defense, but that wasn't the case last night, you know.
No, they were in most of their games, they've had a tough guy Marcus Smart to stand up. Miami's got at least two tough guys, and Caleb Martin, and certainly Jimmy Butler is as tough as they come. I mean, I think I would love to see him in a Celtic uniform. I know it's never going to happen, but he's the type of guy that the Celtics have already had, and the Celtics, I think, still need.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I know that a lot of this. I mean, how does it happen? The very first play, Marcus Smart rolls, you know, offensive series rolls his ankle and really is not the same player at the rest of the game. I mean, at all during any of the game, to be honest with you. And so, that hurt because they rely so heavily on him. I know the Heat have their injuries as well, but still that was a big blow to the team.
It was. And I think they should have taken him out, take him to the locker room, retaped him. Shoot him up, yeah. Whatever you have to do. But, you know, they left him in there, and he was, 1-for-4 from three-point land or 0-for-4. And he just, he was a non-factor. And when Jason Tatum's a non-factor, you're in trouble.
You know, it's funny, Mike, you mentioned that because, you know, I was thinking the same thing last night. I mean, he's still playing. He's sitting on the bench. They're doing nothing to his ankle. I mean, I don't get that. I mean, I'm not a medical person, and neither are you. But I mean, you've seen people pull stuff, you know, during big games. I'm just surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. He must have just said, "I'm fine. I just twisted it. It's fine." When he got right back up, I mean, he was walking without a limp, and occasionally the camera would catch him grimacing a little bit coming down the floor. But if he's hurt, go to the locker room, put another tape job on him, shoot it up, ice it down, take 5 minutes, get him back in there, and so he can be effective. And he was a non-factor in that game last night. Non-factor.
Well, Mike, I'm going to show my age here, but there was no Willis Reed moment with him limping out of the locker room to come back out onto the court. You know what I'm saying?
Or Paul Pierce moment.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, Mike, you know, as a sports reporter, I mean, you can't ask for a greater buildup, really, for an Eastern Conference series than you lose three straight, you win three straight, you have a game seven at home. So I get the hype for all that, but you must remember being at a bunch of game sevens at the current Garden and even at the old Garden, I'm thinking.
Well, yeah, I just go back to when I was working, and you have game seven against the 76ers in 1981, and the Sixers were putting the ball in play at the end of the game, and Bobby Jones threw it off the top of the backboard, and the Celtics were on their way to meet the Houston Rockets in the NBA Finals. There were so many of them. Lakers, Game 7. And there's nothing like it. I mean, the build up and the enthusiasm is just palpable. And I think you have such a home court advantage, but you've got to come out to a good, fast start. And that's what the Celtics did not do. They never played that Game 7 on their terms. They played it on Miami's terms the entire 48 minutes.
Yeah, and again, I just go back, and I mean, I can't imagine, you know, I'm going to say this, but I just don't know if it's true. But, I mean, again, if they knock down those first few shots in the first quarter, is it a different game? I mean, I don't know if that's possible. You know what I'm saying? They jump out to a lead. They were up like 9-5, I think it was, Mike. And that's when I'm thinking they should be up by 10 or 15. You know, and they weren't. And that's – I was worried from that point on, to be honest with you.
You know, the Celtics, usually you say the visiting team took the crowd out of the game. Well, it wasn't the Heat that took the crowd out of the game. It was the Celtics that took the crowd out of the game last night.
No, that's a good point. You know, you're right. As it turns out, they took the crowd. And the crowd was in the game. I mean, it sounded like they were way into the game. Yeah.
Without question, they were into the game. And they just couldn't put a run together. You know,
yeah.
And in every game there's a 7-0 run, 11-0 run, or whatever it is. It really just gets the crowd stoked up, and all of a sudden it feels like, you know, one team is running uphill when they're running down court, and the team that's winning is running downhill. And that never was the case last night for the Celtics.
I felt like when the second half they got to within 8 a couple of times. Then Miami comes down, drills a couple of straight threes, and now, you know, it's you do the math, Mike. What is it? It's 8 points, you know, 8 more points on their lead, you know, and now it's a 16 yep. point game, and the boom, they're back out of it again, and that just happened, seemed to be happening over and over again, and they just couldn't get over the hump. You got to give Miami a lot of credit. I mean, there's what, an 8 seed knocking off the Celts,
yep. Yeah. Well, think about this. Both teams this winter, the Bruins and Celtics, lost to the number 8 seed, a team that just barely made it into the playoffs. And, you know, I have to wonder if the Celtics and Bruins should give so much importance to the regular season. Because, you know, it really doesn't matter. It's what you do in this second season right here. And these guys like Tatum and Brown were like all NBA regular season, but they weren't all NBA when the playoffs started. Guys like Jimmy Butler and Caleb Martin were all NBA. It wasn't Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Trust me.
You know, I think it's worth thinking about. But you know, on the other hand, Mike, I was thinking of that too last night. Is that here they are? They did force a game seven, and they got it at home. I mean, in in all sports annals, if you will, you want the game seven at home. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to be that eight seed playing on the road. I mean, if you can't avoid it. So, you know, I don't know. You know, yeah.
I mean, they went six to Atlanta. They probably should have been over in four or five. Philadelphia was not a good team, and Philadelphia took them to seven games. And Miami was a good team, but not as good as the Celtics, or as good as Celtics think they were. And Miami's a tougher team. They have a tougher team, mental toughness. To come in here, they won three games on the Celtics floor. Three games. That's not an easy thing to do.
Right. Man, I don't know, Mike. I knew you wouldn't cheer me up, but you know, as I get older, I take these things in stride now, as I'm sure you must as a reporter as well. You know, it is what it is, you know. Man.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. You watch the game and you throw your hands up in the air, and you know, and then I watched game six with my mouth open at the end. I said, I can't believe this just happened. And last night, I'm not a betting guy. But if you gave me any amount of money to bet, I would have laid it all on the Celtics. So I thought it was going to be just like the 76ers game seven. And I thought that, you know, Tatum would have a 35-point game and the Celtics would win in a blowout.
Yeah, I might not have bet the house, but maybe the garage, you know, who knows.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. But whatever. Well, Mike, I really, anything else you want to share with us? Anything else happening?
No, now we're on to the Red Sox, I guess, right?
I guess that's right. At least the Red Sox took the day off yesterday, huh? Man, that's unusual in itself, a Memorial Day off, I believe, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a lot of fun for the next 2.5 weeks to have the NBA Finals and, you know, playing against Denver. But I don't even know if I'm going to watch now.
No, I know. No, exactly. And that, I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, it's fun just to have your team keep, you know, the local team continue to play on and so close to a game away from the championship series and so on. But yeah, so it is what it is, I guess, and we go on, so on. But Mike, hang on the line for a second, but thanks so much for your time. Yep.
My pleasure. Thanks, Will. Anytime at all.
Yep. Mike Lynch with us here on MSONewsSports.com.